Saga Egmont presents Jewels on the Move by Rennie McCohen, read by Angus King. Chapter 1. Guns and Arrows. There was a swish and a bang. An arrow soared past Gavin's head and embedded itself in the thick timbers of the castle door. He gave a startled gasp and ducked down without thinking. Then came another much louder bang. And a crash, as something solid hit the stonework beside the gate, and flakes of stone showered over his three friends, who were crouched beside him. "That's like a cannonball," he said in sheer disbelief to Claire, Michael and Mott. "It is a cannonball," retorted the startled Claire, picking up an iron object about the size of a cricket ball, which rolled across the flagstones beside the gate.
"Don't be silly," said her brother Michael. "Who'd fire a cannonball at us? Is someone playing a joke?"
He looked in amazement at the other children as they huddled below the huge castle walls.
"What are we doing here anyway?"
Mott jumped up. "I know what it is. It's one of those societies that act out old battles. You know, they dress up in the costumes of long ago and wave wooden swords and pretend to fight battles the way people did in the past. Yes, that's what it is. Obviously, they've forgotten other people might still be here, or they've not realised we're beside this gate."
He paused in rueful surprise.
"You know, I can't remember how we got here, but I'll give them a wave. Let them know."
Claire also shook her head in amazement and confusion.
"I don't know how we got here either," she said. "But we better wave at them, otherwise there's going to be an accident."
Then she added in the slightly annoying, "I'm the leader" voice she liked to adopt,
"Follow me."
Even at this moment of stress, the boys smiled a little. They were accustomed to Claire being their leader, the chief of their little group, which they called the Clan Alliance. They were brothers and sister whose surname was Stuart. Gavin, however, was a friend. He was a Macrae on his mother's side. Gavin had joined up with them when they had their first adventure on the hill known as Damaiad, near Starling. It seemed such a long time ago, and they had been firm friends ever since. Claire leapt to her feet, followed more gingerly by Gavin, Michael and Mott.
"Don't shoot!" she shouted.
"There are still people here,"
she was about to add angrily.
"What do you think you're playing at?"
When she broke off in astonishment. A stone pathway ran from the castle gate towards steep banks of grass and heather. It was the only way into the castle, which was surrounded on three sides by huge beetling cliffs that sloped down to the sea. The castle was called Donotar. It was a massive, grim, towering fortress that had once been a stronghold of great families like the Keiths, who held it on behalf of Scottish monarchs. Claire rubbed her eyes in total surprise and let out a little gasp. Instead of the grassy slopes and curving path they had tramped down that morning from the car park, there was a brae covered in rough grass and heather. At the top of the slope, a large group of men had gathered, some wearing armoured caps or breastplates, others with flat bonnets and pikes. Most also had swords. In front of them was a row of cannon. Other men stood with muskets perched on long rests or stands that looked like forked sticks. A thought flashed across our mind. They didn't look like a society that reenacted old battles. No, they looked real. Very real.
But they couldn't be, she thought.
Claire had just begun to wave her hand again, urging the boys to do the same, when puffs of smoke came from where the men with the muskets stood. These were followed by a series of deafening explosions from the line of cannon. She just had time to shout,
"Get down!"
The clan, always alert in an emergency, flopped instantly beside her as a volley of musket and cannonballs struck the castle walls and the wooden gate. There was a strong smell of smoke and the sound of thuds and crashing noises, as the ball sent splinters flying from the door and the walls, adding to the confusion.